when it comes to trust issues. Yes, there were a lot of trust issues. And it was very difficult for us to monitor the sale because people used to, in India, they used to make the cash bills and they used to not, you know, put it in the software. And there were certain locations where they used to compromise the quality, buying the cheaper, these things. And yes, you know, we have called them and we have called up free franchisees.
Welcome to Episode 3, Season 1 of Millionaire Mondays, the show where we bring you the stories of real Indian startups told by the entrepreneurs that built them. I'm Caleb Friesen, and on the show today, how Gautam Kudapa brought the culinary art of mandi with him from Sharjah to Andhra Pradesh, and then on to Bengaluru with his Arabic restaurant chain, Barkas. Mandi is a traditional dish originating from Hadhramaut in Yemen, and when Gautam Kudapa first tried it in Sharjah, he realized that in his city of Vijayawada, there was nothing like it. Gautam and a couple of business partners got together in 2016 and decided to launch their first restaurant, Barkas, with mandi as its central dish. But they also threw in some very unique twists to the standard Indian dine-in playbook that most restaurants follow. For example, they replaced chairs with cushions on the floor. They swapped out single-person plates with big table-wide group plates, and they even enhanced the flavors of mandi that they tasted in the UAE with Indian masalas to appeal to the specific palate of people in Andhra Pradesh. This first location far exceeded their expectations and became the first of its kind in Gautam City of Vijayawada.
We see a lot of multi-cuisine restaurants or Chinese, Japanese, you know, Andhra cuisines and all these things, but there was nothing unique that, you know, people can go and sit together and spend time on, right? So we are looking for something unique, you know, to introduce to the people of Andhra Pradesh, initially to the people of Vijayawada, in fact, something unique. And when we were, you know, I was there in Hyderabad that time, and then we used to go to a lot of mandi restaurants, and but then we didn't have this idea that, you know, this is something unique which we can do. But the moment when we travel to Saudi and, you know, Dubai and Sharjah, we have seen more varieties of mandis that they were serving. And then that point of time, there were people who were sitting on the floor, having the food on the floor. So that's where we thought, yeah, this is something unique, you know, that we can pick and, you know, make our USPs. That's when, you know, when we came back again, we visited the same place that we used to visit in Hyderabad. And then when we had that food, we find something that is missing in this mandi, because they were serving most of it authentic, okay, which is not really Indian palate. Right, so we thought, you know, we'll change this and we'll modify this as per the Indian palate. You know, we have made a lot of R&Ds on it, you know, making it a little more spicy, adding more flavors to it. And then we have made recipes out of it. We had about 6 to 8 recipes, so 6 mandis and about 8 to 10 starters. Okay, we have created our own recipes, which is now which is our secret mantra, kind of, you know, where we go, because YSA is, there are a lot of mandi restaurants who are serving mandis these days, but when you go to Barkas, the mandi is different from what other mandi restaurant serves.
Did you consult with a cook or someone in the restaurant industry to come up with these flavors and these recipes, or did you guys do it, you and your business partners, did you do it together on your own?
Basically, I myself is a hotel management graduate. I had a knowledge on this and I had a passion on this. And when I go to restaurants, I can easily make out, you know, what goes into this. Okay. So out of that passion, yes, we had taken a support of the cooks, okay, to put our ideas on the floor, actually. Okay. So we have brought people, and initially we have brought people from Saudi also, who can make actually authentic mandis. And then we have asked them, okay, no, this is not the mandi that we wanted to sell here.
Not for the Indian palate.
And then we asked them to, we have brought, you know, more unique spices, you know, out of the market. And then we asked them to mix and match and, you know, try, you know, in a different ways. That's how we have came out of this recipe that what we are serving now.
Wow.
So that's been continuing from since then till date.
Okay. Now, most of the guests that we have on this show, typically they're in tech, they're building startups. So your story is a little bit different being in restaurants. And what typically happens is if you're starting something from scratch and something that's relatively untested and new, mm-hmm. like Barkas was, right? Mm-hmm. It hadn't been done before. Typically, founders go out and they raise money from investors. They go to angel investors or VC firms. I'm guessing you guys didn't do that. I don't think that's the typical route that restaurants take. So how did you guys finance Barkas for your first location?
Yeah. So to be honest, we don't want to make it a huge restaurant, you know, without experimenting it or without putting first into the market. So first we wanted to see, you know, what the response is before we go big. That's when we started about, you know, 60-seater restaurant, 50-60-seater restaurant in Vijayawada. And then we hardly have 6 to 8 mandis and a little few inventory. And then we started this, you know, that didn't cost it much, since we were already there in the market working for different companies. So we hardly spent about 30-35 lakhs, which was not a huge investment that time. So it was not a burden for us. So we managed our funds by ourselves initially.
Okay, makes sense. And then you open this place up finally after perfecting the recipes, you know, obviously getting this location set up.
Right.
What was the response? How did the local people react to this restaurant?
Response was, it was, you know, very, very good. We actually were surprised, you know, seeing the response, what we have got in the initial days itself. Because for any restaurant, you know, when they set up, either they had to have a huge marketing team or they should be spending a lot, you know, putting hoardings, doing digital marketing, that, this and all. So we have not done any of those things, because we didn't have even a knowledge, honestly, to do, you know, digital marketing, all these things, you know, in the initial days. We just had a setup and we had few friends, you know, group of friends who would be doing kind of word of mouth. So within a month or two, the word has spread in such a way that, you know, it's a 60-seater restaurant. There were 100 people waiting outside for the table. Okay, that's a kind of, you know, word of mouth that has spread across, and that's kind of people who were ready to wait for us together to, you know, taste the food or eat the food. And there was, it is not just, you know, people have come once, there is a waiting, people have stopped coming. There were people who used to come every other day, and they used to wait for 1 hour to eat mandi. So that's a kind of response that we have received at Vijayawada.
That's incredible. And especially with limited marketing spend.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. But I would say probably on the operations side, it was a challenge to keep up with this unexpectedly large demand. How did you guys, I mean, you must have been running around like crazy trying to put out so many different fires and make sure everybody's happy. What was that like?
We used to work for about 16, 18 hours a day, you know, starting from, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, buying things, and, you know, till the time 12, 1 o'clock, you know, closing, because we didn't had very good SOP, standard operations procedures or something like that, because in the initial stages, we used to go to market, you know, buy, you know, stuff, you know, bring things, and, you know, there were hardly few staff in the kitchen. Because that was an unexpected response. We had only few people in the kitchen who were trained. And it's not that, you know, you train people overnight and you put them on job. So it took time for us to train people and get them on job. Till then, it was very hectic for us, getting the things more smoothly, having so much of waiting time, right? So, yeah, there was days where we worked for 18, 20 hours also. And yeah, people were also scolding us, kind of, you know, why you have so much of waiting time. And we could not accommodate tables. And the I don't think it's a bad thing, but the way that we serve, we make seating people sit on the floor, right? So yeah, as you have seen, we don't make people sit on tables and chairs. We have these cushions, nice cushions on the floor. People sit and, you know, they eat together. So it's a kind of relaxing sitting. You know, people don't want to get up early. You know, if you go to the restaurant, tables and chairs, they just eat fast and they'll move on. But when people sit on the floor, they kind of eat, relax, and takes a lot of time to, you know, like at the table. So
and the big plates and the community plates. Feel, you're trying to go for a long experience, right? People are chatting, having fun. Yeah. Meanwhile, there's a line of 100 people out the door.
That's that was one more, bigger problem for us. So it took time to figure out the solutions for that, each and every small thing. So
it must have been difficult. You guys eventually decide to open a second location.
Right.
At that stage, how are you doing as a founder? Were you feeling kind of tired and burnt out? I've been doing these 16 to 18 hour days. I'm exhausted. Or were you excited for expansion?
This second outlet wasn't too far from the initial outlet. It was hardly 15 kilometers away from the Vijayawada outlet, where the place is called Mangalgiri. Okay, so we decided to open up in this little bit outskirts because there will be a little, share, to spread the crowd, So we have spent more than what we had spent on the first restaurant. But then, even that wasn't a very huge investment, okay? So, but then when we opened the second restaurant, we got a response better than the first restaurant. Even there was a waiting on the second restaurant also. We thought, there will be a split of customers, split of guests, where this side of the people will be going to Mangalgiri, the other side we can accommodate in Vijayawada. But then it didn't happen. Even in this location also, there was a huge waiting crowd.
You thought that it would split your work in half. Instead, it doubled your
work. Doubled our work. So, that's a kind of positive thing that we have. But then... it was a good experience, even the second one had become a huge success, and moreover there were a lot of colleges around, there was a lot of student crowd that was coming, big groups of students. So it didn't happen. The business split didn't happen. In fact, it doubled our customer base.
Wow. I've heard that in the restaurant industry, margins are a little bit tighter than a lot of other industries, right? Mm-hmm. Because people don't want to pay pay an arm and a leg for their mm-hmm. restaurant food, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How are you guys doing in terms of revenue? And I'm guessing you were profitable. Was it massively profitable, or were you making a small profit over time? What was the financial situation?
So there are two parts here. One is pre-COVID, okay, and one is post-COVID. Pre-COVID, it was better. Actually, because the prices of the meat or the groceries were intact, lesser than what we are spending now. Now, after pandemic, the prices have drastically increased because of whatever the factor, okay?
For ingredients.
For ingredients. And even the meat, the ingredients, even the rentals, the electricity bills, everything has gone up now. So when we started, it was kind of, okay, we used to make a good margins, okay? That's how we opened our second outlet within 6 months of time, okay? So post-pandemic, the situation has changed now, okay? The prices have increased, the rentals are increased, the electricity bills are increased, okay? Everything has increased. Even the labor cost, okay, the availability of labor has decreased and the cost has become, more than pre-pandemic. We make, margins, good margins. But then being Arabic thing, restaurants, our food costing is higher than what normal restaurants does. Because if you get a kilo of chicken, if you are serving in a normal biryani or if you are making a curry, you cut into pieces and you can make, multiple portions. But when you go to restaurant barkas, so the whole chicken is served in a full mandi. Okay? You don't have an option to, make different, portions or reduce the quantity or increase the quantity. No. Whatever that you get from the thing, you'll have to serve it. You cannot cut the bird.
This is what I was surprised by, because I ordered
the whole bird
mandi and I was like, wait, there's the leg, there's the wing, there's the neck. Wait, this is a whole chicken.
That's
a bird.
That's a whole chicken that we serve.
That was really surprising.
Considering that, there will be a little bit, higher cost, and the quality of the ingredients that we use is a premium. We don't compromise on the quality, okay? Maybe, everyone talks about it. And when you go to Barkas, when you go to other restaurants, you know, you see a tremendous, you know, difference, you know, a lot of difference in terms of quality and the quantity as well, right? So, yes, I know we make good margins still, keeping our operations costs as minimal as possible, okay? So, do you want me to be specific on the numbers?
Well, I mean, depends on how open or comfortable you are sharing. I think mm-hmm. it was a while ago, right? So I'd be curious to know about the numbers from back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you know, when we opened, we used to make about, you know, 35 to 40% of margin. Whereas, because that time for the rentals that we were paying, the overheads were less because the place was small. We hardly had few resources to pay the salaries. And we used to make about 35-40% of margin even after food costing and overheads. But now, since our restaurant sizes are bigger, the volumes are bigger, the number of people working are more, and the system is now all streamlined. We'll have to go by all the processes. We'll have to maintain the hygiene standards. So considering all this, you know, we have a higher overheads. And the rentals are more for the bigger properties, and we are on high streets of markets. So considering that, now we make a profit of about 20-25% of margins.
That's still, I think that's slightly above market.
That's a pretty good, you know, margins, because yeah, our volumes are more. You know, people love coming to Barkas, and we 80% of the customers who comes to Barkas are repeated customers. Repeated guest, okay. That 20% keeps on adding, you know, every day. So our margins are, our volumes are more. That's how, you know, we were able to manage the consistent percentage of the profits.
Yeah. So today you guys have a pretty sizable footprint. I think around 20 restaurants across the country, yeah, which is really impressive. But back in the day, right, you just have these two locations in Andhra Pradesh. Both of them are company owned.
Mm-hmm.
What was the conversation that you and your business partners had to say, we're going to go in a franchising route now instead of continuing to expand as a company owned business?
So initially we didn't have this in mind that, you know, we will be giving a franchisees. Okay, so seeing the response, there were people who has approached from Bangalore asking for a franchisee, but we were not certain that, you know, how well it works as a franchisee. But then, yes, you know, we wanted to give it a try, being a Bangalore, you know, metropolitan kind of, you know, bigger city, where there are a lot of, you know people who comes from different parts of India. Okay, there is a diversified market. It's not like, you know, Vijayawada, where, you know, most of 90% of the people are local crowd. But whereas in Bangalore, we wanted to see the difference, you know, how it works when you move out of your, you know, network or the culture, local culture, right? So we want to give it a try. And since the people who has approached are also very friendly and, you know, kind of passionate in this restaurant industry, we thought, yes, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, try it out. And then that's when this third outlet has come in Bangalore. And initially, we had faced a lot of problems in Bangalore, because in Vijayawada, as I told you earlier, we never spent anything on marketing and stuff. And that's what we continued here also. But then that didn't work out.
It's a more crowded space.
Yeah, it's a more crowded space. And there was a huge, huge competition. There are, if you see Marathelli, there are 100 restaurants in that 1-2 kilometers radius. And we were one, and people doesn't know who we are, right? So initially, it was a very, very, you know, difficult time when we opened this Marathelli outlet. And then that's when we realized, no, I mean, we will have to do something in the marketing part, because this is not going to work out if you open a restaurant and sit like this. People doesn't know you, okay? So that's when we started streamlining the process of this marketing, you know, creating the pages, getting into digital marketing, and, you know, we have done a lot of promotional activities here in, you know, in Bangalore. We have learned a lot, you know, from this Bangalore launch,
What kinds of marketing activities did you guys participate in? Was it mainly online or did you do offline, like hoardings?
We did both. Initially, we started with, you know, digital marketing, and then we did offline marketing also, where the, you do the cycle brandings, and we have put up posters on these autos, auto rickshaws and all. We did a huge marketing, and it took about 4 to 6 months for us to, get a proper business. But then when in Vijayawada, we already had a capital to open a second restaurant within 6 months. Here, to get into the market, you know, for people to know about us, it took a 6 months time.
Wow.
Okay. So that's when we learned a lot, how to get, you know, when you go to a new location, what kind of, you know, marketing that you'll have to do, how we'll have to grab the attention of the new customers and all. So it was an experience.
And I've also heard that franchising, mm-hmm. especially, I think it's a very popular and common model in mm-hmm. the United States, whereas mm-hmm. in India, it's still kind of a new thing, right? Or it's not new, but it's still not as common as it is right. in the West. And I think a large part of that is due to trust, right? You're kind of giving your business, you're putting it in the hands of somebody else, and you're trusting them to foster it well, which sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't do. And there's horror stories of restaurant owners that do this franchising model and then find out that right. the quality of the food and the quality of the service and everything, the location, you know, mm-hmm. everything's falling apart mm-hmm. because the franchise owner is not sort of giving it the same amount of love and attention that the owner is. Did you guys ever run into that problem as you started to expand?
Yeah, that's very much true, you know, what you said. But we had a policy from the initial stages itself that we give franchises only to the owners who is going to be there on the floor and take care of operations. And there are people coming to us, sir, we have this money, I want to invest and I'll keep managers and I'll run the show. We used to directly, you know, reject them and say, no, if you are the owner, if you are going to stay on the floor and take care of the business, then yes, you please come back to us and we will do a franchise model. But then, no, but not if you're running a show with the managers and all. No, it's not going to happen, because end of the day, the interest or the commitment what owner gives or puts into the business will not be the same as the staff doing that, right? So we had made a strict rule that we are going to give a franchise only those people who will be there on the floor and taking care of the business. And as when it comes to trust issues, yes, there were a lot of trust issues. And it was very difficult for us to monitor the sale, because people used to, in India, they used to make the cash bills and they used to not, you know, put it in the software. And people were doing all this. And when it comes to quality, we never compromised on the quality. And there were certain locations where they used to compromise the quality and buying a cheaper, these things. And yes, you know, we have caught them and we have called off free franchisees. And we have again, you know, based on that, we have streamlined them. We have put a standards. We have made our legal things, you know, very strong. Okay, back then, due to maybe lack of knowledge or experience, we didn't have this legal team so strong. But later on, you know, getting into all this, understanding all these things, so, you know, we have made a strong, you know, our agreements or legal things very strong, so that, you know, people will have that fear, you know, to deviate the quality or hygiene standards. So that's how we streamline now. Now every restaurant, if you go, you know, you see the same quality and, you know, standards.
Now, one of the ways in which Gautam has been able to standardize all of his outlets is through a platform that he uses to manage all of his restaurant locations, Explorex. And I actually want to share a short video that they made in collaboration with Barkas so you can learn more about it.
Explorex has made our life very much easy in terms of customer service, okay, waiting time, and, you know, staff, you know, efforts of the staff in terms of getting the reports. It also made us easy to track the sales of restaurants in multiple locations. Even the onboard process was very smooth and flexible, as, you know, we have given the minimal input and they have got all the inputs by the board, you know, coming to the restaurant, collecting all the data from us and, you know, putting it in a proper way.
Explorix's flagship platform, Bridge, is an operating system for your entire restaurant business. Their auto table and payment settlement features are both unique and also super helpful for a multi-location restaurant chain like Barkas. And with more than 1,000 restaurants on their platform across 15 cities in India, Explorix has established trust across India's entire restaurant industry. To learn more about Explorix and their operating system for restaurants, click on the link in the description down below. And now, on with the podcast.
Wow, so that must have been difficult too, because I think between 2016 and 2020, you guys had expanded to between 8 to 10 locations.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously, you as an owner, and even you and your business partners don't have the time or resources or energy to just continuously travel between these locations, right? Mm-hmm. You kind of, at a certain point, you have to take a step back and place trust in these franchise owners, which is a challenge, and it's hard to guarantee that quality. So it sounds like it was a struggle, and there were some points where things didn't really go your way. Now, what was the turning point? Because it sounds like the first location that you opened in Marathali, it was like 6 months before it actually started to gain a bit of footfall. Was that the case in the other locations too, or did you come up with a strategy to make it more quicker for people to discover the restaurant?
Yes. Marathali was a very great learning experience for us. Okay, I mean, the next branches that we have opened, next outlet that we have opened, it wasn't a bigger challenge for us because we have learned out of this outlet, Even before we launch, we start our marketing activities about 2-3 months earlier, and we keep starting, doing digital marketing and all. And along with that, we have hired a core team. Okay, we had a team, but then that was not enough. We had hired more experienced chefs, and we have put them on job, in each location, okay, to make sure this is the quality that has to be maintained. Okay, if the franchisee who has taken the franchise, if that people doesn't maintain the quality or bring the ingredients or meat as per our standard, you don't even prepare the food. That is the instruction that we have passed. And in every franchisee outlet, every chef of ours, they maintain that quality. Okay, so because Barkas, the kitchen is completely under our control. Okay, we don't allow any franchisees to hire the staff into the kitchen or else to remove the staff out of the kitchen. If there is anything that has to be done, it is we who has to take a call. So that's how we maintain this quality.
So in 2019, the end of 2019 and even into the early months of 2020, before anybody had ever heard of this thing called COVID-19, how is your business doing? How was it doing well? Were you guys, just planning to continue expanding, or were there challenges? Were there growing pains?
So pandemic is one thing which has put a break for us because it was almost 1.5 to 2 years which we struggled because of this pandemic.
But before the pandemic,
pandemic, we were doing fantastic business. Okay, all the locations were doing really, really great, and we had a couple of franchises which are in pipeline, which was in under construction when this COVID happened and when the lockdown happened. Even one of our company owned outlet, which is a Visakhapatnam outlet, we were supposed to open on March 28th of 2020. And there was a lockdown on March 23rd, a week before launch date, there was a lockdown. But then, yes, pandemic, we had faced a lot of struggles in terms of managing manpower or managing our overheads. And, I would say, in a way, it also helped us gaining the trust of the people and understanding, how well customers accepted us. Because when in pandemic, when this lockdown happened, there were already about 200 people working with us in all the branches, franchisee outlets or company-owned outlets. There were about 200 people who were working already. And these people were nowhere to go because it was all lockdown, and no one actually expected this situation. And no one actually prepared for this, okay? So in that situation, we as a partners, we took a call. Okay, so okay, situation has come now. There is nothing that you can step back. And these are not just 200 people. These are families, you know, that you know, are dependent on these people. So we took a call to make sure every resource in our company gets a call from the team, a core team, and they are explained about the situation and they are given a hope about how is it is going to be and how you will be treated. Okay, we promise them that as long as this pandemic continues, we told them clearly that, you know, we are not in the situation to pay the salaries for the entire pandemic, but we will make sure that you have a proper food, all the medical facilities and the accommodation. Okay, we took care of the entire 200 people with all these things for about 8 months initially when there was a first lockdown. And then people then realized, you know, the difference between they worked in the previous companies and they worked for us. And they have seen a difference what their from their friends or colleagues who were working in the other companies, right? So that's when people understood and they have become more loyal to us. Now, all those 200 people who were there with us in pandemic are still there. Not even a single person moved out of it in 2023 now at this, you know, mid of 2023. From the day pandemic started, not even a single person moved out.
Does that include like staff, like wait,
staff,
servers at restaurants?
Servers.
That's incredible because that...
Starting from the housekeeping staff to the executive chefs, no one moved out.
This is a really high churn industry, yeah. Right? There's, you know, in terms of employee...
Employment, yeah.
Churn, it's...
We hardly have a single digit, you know, attrition. Usually, this restaurant industry has about 20-25% of attrition every year because people keep moving. Even if you pay, you know, $500 extra, you know, they will run out. But whereas in Barkas, you know, we make sure that people are happy.
Wow.
I would say that is one of the core reasons why we are growing so fast. You know, our people, you know, who are there with us.
That's incredible. Must have been very expensive, though. I think the reason why a lot of restaurants would have laid off their staff during the pandemic is because it's a massive cost either to the company's bank account or your personal bank account.
So I understand, you know, that's a huge loss, but then it's not only about the money, it's something about your responsibility towards people who are working for you, right? So what if, you know, if you'd have thrown out 200 people without a food and shelter outside, where would they go, right? So it is kind of humanity corner that you'll have to show them. We never thought of, you know, a commercial aspect, you know, if you, this will cost us so much if you do this. We never thought of, you know, humanity corner initially we started and we made sure that, you know, people are happy and not having problem with, you know, food and shelter or medical, you know, this thing. We made sure that we never thought of, you know, expenses. We thought, okay, these people are working for us, okay? And when they are working for us, we are the one who are responsible for their, you know, living. So we made that call.
Wow. Well, that's, okay, so that's on the employee side, sort of the internal company mm-hmm. operations side.
Mm-hmm.
What about the customer side? Because after that second wave of the pandemic, I think consumers were faced with this choice of, it's been many months since I went to a restaurant. I think I want to try it again, but where am I going to go eat? And all of the restaurants are competing for their attention. What did you guys do to sort of stand out?
That's what, right? You know, whatever that we have, the calls or decisions that we made initially has helped us out in reading the customers as well. Okay, be it a quality or be it the service that we give. We just, you know, we're posting a couple of posts on social medias that we are open back. Okay, people, the moment they see, you know, people used to call us, are you guys open? Are you guys, you know, you have this, you know. There were a lot of questions that were coming up, you know, when the restaurants were open back from pandemic, you know, on this, you know, masks, you know, where people have this, you know, what do you call this, you know, sanitization. So there are a lot of things, you know, orders without, you know,
contactless.
Yeah, contactless orders where we have QRs and then QR things, you know, we had this, you know, even before pandemic also, but you know, that has helped after pandemic a lot. And people, yes, you know.
These are QR code menus.
QR code menus, yeah. So we haven't done much on that because we already had a very good customer base, very strong customer base. So the moment people knew that we are open, you know, people, you know, we got our customers back, you know. We were actually surprised to see people were waiting for restaurants to go off, restaurants to open, you know. It was a wonderful thing that we have come across, encountered.
But one of the things that makes Barkas unique and special are these sort of big plates, right? Where everybody is supposed to partake together. Did you have to change that strategy for a limited period of time because of the pandemic?
It was only a 20% of the menu when we started what we have now. Okay, so we have a 20-25 varieties of mandis, and we have about 40-45 varieties of starters, and we have desserts, you know, soups, I mean whatnot, you know. We did a lot of R&Ds on this, and we have our core, we have targets for our core team also to bring out new things in every often, you know. And that's what, you know, makes us, you know, stand out from the market uniquely. And one more thing is that, you know, when you go to any restaurant, you see day special, today special, right? So that today special, what you see on the board, the same thing you'll see in the menu also. Out of the menu, they pick one or two items, a few items, and they put it as today special. But whereas when you go to Barkas, whatever the special that we put on board, you don't see that in a menu, okay? And once we put that as a day special, and if you like it, if you go second time and if you ask them, I had this last time, I want this. No, you will not get it. You will have something new that time. Okay. So at Barkas, you will have, people will see something new every time. Okay. So it's not that, you know, why Barkas, you know, it's the same food, you know, that you'll have. No, not like that. You know, we keep something new for our guests all the time.
That's, I think one of the reasons why a lot of restaurants don't do that is that you kind of have to continuously update things, right? Or they feel they might have to update things on the menu and also on the digital side as well with people ordering online.
Right.
How do you guys navigate that apart from writing it on the board? I mean, how do you inform people that there's new options that are available and the menu is changing?
So that's what, you know, so when we are introducing, we have a good followers over the social media, you know, the moment we put a post that, you know, this is going to be something new that this weekend or this particular day, you know, we get a response, we get a calls from them, you know, is it available today? And yes. And also when people comes to the restaurant, if they miss seeing that board, we will have this, you know, something called ExploreX, where people can, you know, when they scan, we'll also put it in a days list that, you know, which will get a pop-up where people can see, oh yeah, this is the today's special.
And it's the up-to-date menu.
Yeah. So that's how we managed.
Okay. After the pandemic, you guys really forged ahead, mm-hmm. Expanding into what is now a mm-hmm. 20 mm-hmm. restaurant mm-hmm. empire across the country. Mm-hmm. And I believe you're also going global as well.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that expansion plan going ahead in the future and going outside of India.
Right. So initially, you know, after pandemic, we have moved a little faster on expansion because of the inquiries that we are giving, now we are getting, and the customers who are looking for our new businesses.
Prospective franchisees.
Yeah, franchisees and all. So we have about, now we are expanding towards north. You know, all these days we were in only south, and we had one branch in Kolkata. Now about 8 months ago, in last October, we have opened one in Lucknow. And we have seen the same response as Vijayawada has received initially. Okay, now there are three more restaurants which are in progress now, and there is one in Kanpur coming up, and there is one in Delhi that we are planning, which is again a franchise restaurant, and there is one in Sharjah, and there are discussion going on for Pattaya, Bangkok. So we have, yes, you know, a lot of expansion plans.
Now, to get to this point, you had to do a lot of things right. I think you don't end up with a 20-restaurant pan-India chain by luck. Seems like you have a strategy, and I've actually heard you talk about this before, about this sort of three-pronged approach, these three different models. So maybe just walk me through that for people who might be interested in getting into this industry and avoiding some of the pitfalls early on by some insight from your side.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to franchising, you know, all these years, we were doing only the franchising thing. So post-pandemic, you know, we have changed our business models because there were a lot of people who are coming to me saying that, sir, we have money, we want to start the business, but we don't have time to do that. You know, I want to run a business with you know, the team. So, and there are people who wants to invest, but, you know, not ready to take a risk. Okay. Obviously, you know, any business will have a risk. Okay. And the success rate in this restaurant industry is about only 30-40%. Okay. Out of 100 restaurants, only 30-40 restaurants will sustain and the other restaurants will shut it down. So there are multiple factors, you know, people don't want to take a risk. So what we have done is we have created multiple business models, three business models, in fact. The first one is the franchise model, which was already there from 2017 or 2018. And then we have two other business models, which is a investment model and the revenue model. Investment model is something, as I told you, if somebody comes to me and says, sir, I have a money, I want to invest, but then I don't have time, I don't want to manage it. So what we does is, you know, they will be investing in a restaurant and we will be taking care of the entire operations. Okay. And we will be giving certain percentage, X percentage out of profits.
For a limited, it's like a fixed return and a limited period of time.
No. The investment, the entire investment will be done by the investor. And then we are the one who is going to be operating the restaurant as a company owned outlet.
And they take a perpetual.
Like we do our company owned outlets, right? How we operate a company owned outlet, we operate the same way. Okay. But the investment is done by the investor. Okay. And out of whatever the profits that we make, so we give a chunk of percentage, I mean, X percentage to the investors
indefinitely
in a profit.
Yeah, but for how long do they take that profit?
So it initially makes an agreement of 12 years. Okay, so after 12 years then we will revise that. Okay, so in the meantime, every 4 years or 5 years you will have to, you know, keep upgrading the restaurants, renovating things, you know, those times, you know, the investors will be pumping in the money back again, but that's not going to be a huge investment, you know, just to...
Because they've already recouped their investment. Yeah.
So the other one is the revenue model. If somebody says that, sir, I invest money, but then I don't want to take risk. Okay, if the profit comes, then you give me the profits. What if the profit doesn't come? Because you are not investing money. You are not going into losses. It is we going into losses because I am the one who is investing money. So what we did is it's a revenue model. Whether we do profits or we don't do profits, we give a percentage, X percentage on a sale. Say, for example, if you do a business of 50 lakhs a month, we give some X percentage. Whether I spend 50 lakhs on food costing and overheads, if I don't make profit also, I'll have to pay that X percentage to the investor. That is one different business model.
Hmm. Would you be comfortable telling me, like, what's the breakdown of, like, how much of your overall business is the franchising model, how much of it is the investment model, and how much of it is the revenue model? Which one is the most? I'm guessing franchising is the most common, right?
Yeah, because it was all franchising. Most of the restaurants are franchising, are currently operating a franchising model only. Hardly there are a few restaurants which has recently come up are under investment model and revenue model. Okay, because we haven't had these models earlier.
It's a new thing.
So people are more interested towards this investment model because the higher rate of returns. Because we are giving numbers where they are not even expecting, right? So to be honest, we are giving about, you know, 40% on the revenue for the investors. No company does that. No company does that. And the revenue ROI is going to be hardly 1 to 1.5 years, the maximum, okay, by the volumes that we are doing. And for the revenue model, we are paying them 6%, okay, which is assured income, right? So if I'm doing an average of 50 lakhs, you know, 6% out of is about 3 lakhs.
Yeah.
It's a fixed income for them, you know, whether I do profits or I don't do profits, it's not their business, you know. We will be sharing the software, you know, and billing access to them. They will be monitoring all the sales. Okay, end of the day, yes, boss, this is the sale. This is what I'm supposed to get. Yeah, boss, you take, please take this. And the same thing happens with the investment model also. So everything will be kept transparent between the investor and, you know, us, and whatever the profits that we make. So we give 40% out of it.
Hmm. Wow. You guys are moving now into other countries. So you mentioned Thailand is potentially on the table there. Also Sharjah, very exciting. As a Canadian, we also, you know, it's not very common to see a Canadian restaurant outside of Canada. I think the only exception is Tim Hortons, and that's not even Canadian owned anymore. Mm-hmm. Whereas American restaurant businesses, and mainly QSR, they are very good at expanding on a global level. But I haven't seen many Indian companies do that successfully. So I'm curious to know, you know, how are you guys looking at this as a restaurant that could potentially have a very large global scope in the future?
That I'm not sure. See, you know, all these years, our business went unplanned. Okay. So we are going the way it is going. Okay. So even the Sharjah and this Pattaya thing also is not, you know, very much planned. You know, we'll have to go there. There's a lot of business. You go there, you set up a business. No, nothing like that. I mean, it is going in a way, you know, like, you know, last time when we visited there. So we see the Indian restaurants are doing tremendous business. Okay. Being an, you know, Arabic restaurant, going back to Arabic country, okay, with a fusion mandi, which is not their thing. So we thought of kind of, you know, exploring, you know, how they accept us when we modify their own cuisine. And of course, you know, it is not, you know, we keep it transparent, you know, we are not telling that, you know, we are authentic Arabic, you know, we are Indo-Arabic. Okay, we do a fusion out of it. And also we serve biryanis, you know, authentic proper biryanis, where, you know, I have seen in Dubai, no, they say it's a biryani, but not really up to mark. So when we do it, you know, we do it in a proper way. We serve a very nice authentic Hyderabadi and, you know, a lot of other biryanis. Along with that, we have a lot of starters where the restaurants are missing in, you know, Dubai and Sharjah. So we are going to create separate menu when we go there. So we'll have to wait and see how the response is going to be. And Pattaya is also something, the same thing. And we are not sure, you know, how big we can grow. But for now, yeah, we are happy with what we are doing, and we have already occupied for next 1 year. We have a pipeline, projects in pipeline. So let's see, we'll have to see, wait and see.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing where it goes.
Yeah, of course, we have a pipeline for about 40 restaurants in next 4 years. We have a plan. But not when you ask me if I'm going globally, I'm not sure. But yes, you know, these two projects that we are going to do in next maybe 1 year, Sharjah and this Pattaya.
Wow. Now, this, I think the future of the company, you know, although it is uncertain, there's a lot of things that you guys are targeting at least. You've gotten to the point now where as a restaurant owner, do you feel like you're out of the woods? Like this business is not going to go anywhere, right? It's safe. It's secure,
yeah,
right?
As long as people, you know, keep eating, then we are, yeah.
You're going to keep staying in business. What advice would you give to young Indian founders who, you know, have heard that the restaurant industry is a really hard industry to succeed in, but they're kind of still wanting to get into it? They feel like this itch, right?
And still, you know, these days, you know, even my friends or, you know, from relatives calls me and they say that, you know, I wanted to start a restaurant. I only ask them a question. What is that that you want to serve to your guest? You decide on that first. Okay. So unless and until you have a clarity on what that you, your guests or your customers want to eat, then you'll not be able to. First, you decide that, you work on it. Okay. And few people sometimes call me, we are trying to do this and within 2-3 years we are also going into, you forget about this, you know, giving a franchise thing. First you target, you know, you focus on one particular outlet and you get that happen, you make that successful, you know. Obviously, you know, people will fall behind you for the franchises. You don't need to worry about, you know, going behind people and you take my franchise. You don't need to do that. Okay. You focus on what you wanted to serve, how you wanted to serve, the experience, how unique, how different experience that you wanted to give to customers. That's what is matters.
How important is innovation in succeeding in the restaurant space? Because you guys started out with this.
That's one of the key factor, I would say, because in this competitive world, you know, you see restaurants are popping like mushrooms everywhere. You know, if you don't do innovation and if you are not doing innovation, you will be overtaken. Maybe if not today, maybe in down the line 1 year, you know, all your customers, okay, be it, you know, a genuine customer, loyal customers who are loving your food, when somebody comes with a better taste or, you know, a better concept or better ideas, then you will not be able to sustain. It's a very important factor to keep your you know, eyes open and doing new things, you know, innovating things. So not just a food ways of serving food or giving an experiences, introducing new things. It's a key factor, one of the key factors, I would say.
The thing about you that surprises me most, I think, is the fact that you said in the next 4 years, you're going to be expanding to likely 40 different locations,
yes.
Which sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
But you're also moving into a new business now with Old Mill Brewery,
right.
Which is the first of its kind for you, I think, mm-hmm. opening a brewery
right.
Somewhere between Sarjapur Road and Whitefield
right.
on that...
Gunju Road. Yeah.
Gunju Road, yeah. What, I mean, I'm just, I'm curious to know, why did you decide to even like split your attention in two different directions here, one with Barkas and now this new business?
No, I am not splitting my attention, in multiple businesses. This project I had in mind since 2018-19. I have done a project report in 2018 to open up a brewery, but whatever the factor, be it a financial thing or... space, we couldn't find a proper place or whatever the reason, we did not do it that time. And meantime there was a pandemic for 2 years, and after pandemic we did not have time to do this. So now since everything was ready, okay, so and we now have a lot of investors who are believing in me, because since we are doing a good number of businesses, good business, now people are coming out to invest on us, right? So considering all the facts, you know, now it's time for us to do, I mean, that was my actually a dream project. I had this passion to open a brewery since long, but as I told you, there are a lot of factors that has stopped us doing this. Now I'm doing it. And yeah, I mean, when I say 40 restaurants in the next 4 years, it is almost one restaurant in every month. It's almost. Yeah, we have our plans. Now we are dividing this in multiple zones, and we are mobilizing teams, multiple teams in training people and architecture, you know, finding places. You know, we have mobilized teams at each location, and then we have started working on it now.
We just earlier finished talking about innovation, mm-hmm. and I'm curious to know, what about Old Mill Brewery is mm-hmm. going to be innovative, right? Because in the brewery space here, and especially in Bengaluru, it's a crowded space, right? There's a lot of breweries. This is sort of like the brewery city of the country. What do you guys plan on doing differently?
So you'll see it in another 3.5 months, okay? Starting from the architecture to the beer that we are planning is completely unique, Of course, there are a couple of standard beers like, you know, Weiser or, you know, ales and all these things. But yeah, we have a brewer who has about 40 years of experience. Okay. Who, I know, currently we are working on making our different beers now. And our architecture is something very much different, where it'll take at least about 15-20 visits for you to, you know, explore completely on that, okay, to have that experience. And also, since we have a lot of experience in this food, I don't, most of breweries, when I go there, yeah, there are few places where the food is very, very good, but the beers are not up to the mark. There are beers good and the food is not up to the mark. And there are a lot of breweries where I see these, so these green beers. Green beers, when I say these unmatured beers, okay? So what we have decided is, you know, if we don't have a volume, okay, we will not do it, but then we are not going to serve these green beers and all. You know, we will maintain these standards, okay? Maybe in a rush, we might do little less business, but then that's okay for us, you know, to do less business, keeping the good standards, okay? That's what made us successful all these years, and I believe in that, so we are going to do the same in Old Mill also.
That was Gautam Kudappa, founder of Barakas and the Old Mill Brewing Company. And by the way, you might have noticed that pretty much every big microbrewery in Bengaluru at this point has a pond. And so naturally, I asked Gautam about this.
The most important question that I have to ask you about Old Mill is, will there be a pond?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
There has to be a pond.
It's
right?
Not a pond that we have. We have a 30 feet water fountain.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So on the outer space, we will have this, you know, water falling from 30 feet height. That's a huge thing that we have planned. And
there has to be a water feature.
There are a lot of things that we have, you know, though it is hard to maintain. Still, you know, we want to give a different experience to the people, so
can't wait to see it. Thank you so much for watching or listening to the podcast this week, and I'll catch you in the next one.